had a good week and spent time and prepared themselves for the service this morning and opened up their hearts and received what the Lord is going to be put upon you to communicate and use it and that thing this week. So let's stay and sing a couple songs. We'll still be in Christmas mood. So let's turn to page number 94. Angels from the realms of the Lord.
Thank you. Thank you, brother. Turn your Bibles this morning to James chapter number 4. James chapter number 4. And I thank the Lord to be here with you all once again this morning. It's a privilege each and every time that I get to stand and preach His Word and do what He's had me and called me to do. And I'm even more thankful the fact that we get to spend a little time in the house of the Lord on the last day of this year. I'm thankful for that fact that I saw something earlier this morning. I thought it was pretty interesting. As you turn to your Bibles, I saw the fact that this year started on a Sunday, and it ended on a Sunday. So I think that's pretty neat right there, that we got to start this year the way it should be started in the house of the Lord, and end this year the way it should be ended in the house of the Lord as well. So I'm excited about that this morning. I'm thankful to be here with you all. So when you find James chapter number 4 there, please stand for the reading of God's Word. We'll start in verse number 13. James chapter 4 and verse 13. Bible says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we shall go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain." Here's where I want to focus at, verse 14 right here. "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even but a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away." Verse 15, "For ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live, and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin." I want to preach to you all for a little while this morning on this question right here. For what is your life? Be seated and let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for another opportunity to be in your house this morning. Lord, what a great way to end the year, Lord, to be able to come together, Lord, one last time in the year of 2023 and to worship you, Lord, and to give you honor and praise, Lord, that you're due this morning. And I pray, Lord, that this message, Lord, you would empty me in myself. Lord, help me to say everything you'd have me to say and nothing less and nothing more, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you would just help me this morning, Lord, because I need you. Lord, I need you right now. Lord, I pray, Lord, you'd speak to hearts through this message, Lord. Help us to realize, Lord, just how short this life is, Lord, and help us to realize, Lord, that we don't need to be sitting around, Lord, but we need to get busy for you because there's souls to be won and work to be done for your honor and glory, Lord. And I pray that you'd help us this morning. Lord, help me to preach this message, Lord, and I ask all these things in your Son Jesus' name. Amen. Now, a little context around this passage right here we find in James. Right here in James chapter 4, James is talking to a group of people right here who are very, very discontented. If you'll go on earlier in the passage, he talks about how these people right here that he is talking to have the world in one hand and have God in the other hand. And as it talks about in the passage, the Bible says things against that, that we cannot live this life as Christians with God in one hand and the world in another hand. And also it talks about right here how these people right here, they are going about their life and they're spending their life trying to get gain. They're trying to gain everything the world has, and they're discontented. They're constantly discontented. How many of you know people who all they spend their life doing is getting as much as they possibly can and sucking the world dry of what it has and trying to get something and be something big in this life? Well, that's what these people were doing right here. They were trying to be a big shot, if you will. They were trying to gain all the world had to offer because that's what made them happy. Because they weren't just content with the Lord. They weren't just content with the things of God. They weren't just content going and worshiping God and giving Him praise and doing what's right for the Lord. They had to have the world too. They had to have what this world offers. And that's the background of this passage right here. But as we see what James says to him right there, "For what is your life? It is even but a vapor that appears for a little time." A little time. I don't think we realize just how short that is. Let me illustrate it to you with this right here. It seems like I've heard more recently, more than ever, people saying, "Man, I cannot believe how fast this year flew by." It seems like we just now started the year, and here we are, the last day of 2023. I can say for myself that it feels like just yesterday we were celebrating a new year, and here we are. Christmas is past. The whole year's gone. And here we are about to start a new year. But can I tell you, that's exactly how the Bible said it would be. And it seems now more than ever that it's passing faster and faster and faster. And they say as you get older, time seems to pass faster. I know some of you older folks can testify that it probably passes a lot faster now than it ever has before. But you know why that is? Because your life is but a vapor that appeareth for a little time. I don't think we realize how little time we have. In the grand scheme of things, compared to eternity, we have but a sliver of time here on this earth. And we spend it sometimes and we waste it. Not coming to church, not doing what's right for the Lord. And we spend our little sliver of time that we have, that little vapor that appears for a moment, and we're not doing what the Lord has us to do. We're not content with just having the Lord. We constantly want to gain all this world has to offer, but guess what? Just like that, and your life will be over. Your life will be over just like that. So I want to ask you this morning, my question is for you, what is your life? Not what the person sitting beside you, what is their life? Not person that you may know that may not be here this morning, what is their life? But what is your life? What is your life? And that vapor that appeareth for a little time, how are you using it? Maybe you've wasted it for the Lord so far. You've not been in church like you should be. You've wasted it out in the world and not for the Lord. Or maybe you have used it wisely. Maybe you've used it for the Lord. So I want to look at three things this morning regarding our life. Three things in this passage let us look at regarding our life, and we'll see just what our life truly is today. Now, and I want you to reflect on this. Think about how fast this past year has went, and just how fast it seems like time is passing, just how everybody talks about around you, and just think that's exactly how the Bible said it would be. And let us use our life in a way that is pleasing unto the Lord. So, let us get into this message here. I've got three things for you this morning. Three things regarding what is your life. And number one, I want us to look at the account of your life. Look at verse number 14. As I was talking about, it says, it is even a vapor. Like I said, it seems like time is passing faster day by day. Every day that goes by, it seems like time is getting faster and faster and faster. And it seems like the years are going by in months. Seems like the months are going by in weeks. So let's think about this for a minute. You may ask, what do you mean exactly by the account of your life? Here's what I mean by the account of your life. And life happens very quick. But here's what I mean with the account. When you are born, each and every single one of us have a birthday in this room. From the time that you are born, God deposits a number of days into your account. Your account of life, let's call it. And God puts those number of days in your account. And we can do things that may shorten the days. We can do things that may take off of the days. But He deposits a set number of days in your account. And every morning that you wake up, you withdraw a day. Every morning that you wake up, when you woke up this morning, you looked in the mirror, guess what you did? You withdraw a day. And now that when you have you woke up this morning and you're here right now, you are living that day that you just withdrawed. And that's the account of your life. And can I tell you, when you get to that end of that account, when you withdraw that final day, there is nothing that can be done to stop you from leaving this world. Because God deposits that set number of days in your account and you withdraw them day by day. And it seems like the withdrawals happen quicker and quicker and quicker. And when you withdraw that final day, you'll take your last breath and you'll slip into eternity. Let's be ready when we withdraw that final day. Because we have no idea when it is. Only God knows when that final day is. So when we withdraw that final day, let us be thankful, and let us go into eternity with thanksgiving instead of regret. Let us not spend our account of life, our precious days, because I don't think we realize in here, especially the young people. Young people who are in here this morning, I don't think you realize. Sometimes we as young people, we think we're bulletproof. I know, I've been there as well. We think that nothing in this world can touch us. But can I tell you, you have an account as well. And needless to say, we've had teenager funerals before. We've had people die within childhood ages. So can I tell you, you're not bulletproof this morning. But can I tell you what you can do? You can spend every single day that you have living for the Lord. You can make the most of your account that you have. Don't be so arrogant to say, well, I've got time to do this. I've got time to go and live my life first. I've got time to do X, Y, and Z. No, you have a set account. And when that account runs out, it's too late. I don't think we truly realize. We cannot grasp how precious the time that we have it truly is today. And like I said, this year, how fast it flew by. Man, we look back on this year and we may have regrets. We may have things that we're thankful for this past year. But man, it just flew by. Now, I was thinking about how to truly illustrate, because I don't think we grasp what the Bible says right here. It is even but a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. I don't think we truly can grasp our mind how quick that truly is. So I brought this with me today. Now, the Lord laid this on my heart to illustrate just how quickly the Bible says our life is. Now watch this, you'll miss it. This is what the Bible says that your life is. Gone. And you're welcome for making it smell good right here, by the way. This is what the Bible says that your life is. Appeareth for a moment, you see it, and it's gone. That is what the Bible... Anything the Lord could have equated anything in this world to what our life is. But you know what He chose to call it? A vapor. Something that only appears for a split second, a couple seconds maybe even, and then vanisheth away just like that. So, when you think about your life, that's exactly what it is. It's a vapor. So we need to spend that account that we have. Let's put our minds around it and grasp how little time that we have in comparison to eternity. And use that account for the Lord. Be faithful to the Lord. Be in church. Live our lives for Him, because we do not have much time. It is even but a vapor. So, I hope that helped you to visualize it this morning. That's what the Bible says our life is like right there. Blink and you'll miss it. How many people have you heard say, man, it's like I blinked in this year past. It's because your life's a vapor that appears for a little moment, then vanisheth away. So, can I tell you, in this life, you'll blink. And I can even testify, I'm 19 years old. And it seems like from the time that I was little to now, it seems like there is not much time passed at all. And it, like I said, it keeps getting progressively worse as you get on up in age. It seems like you blink, 10 years gone. Blink again, there goes another 10 years. And before you know it, you're old and gray, and having other people that may need to care for you when once you felt like just like a kid. And I'm sure some of you older folks in here can say, man, it just felt like not much time at all that I was a kid, and I didn't have to have any help getting around. Those of you may have to have help getting around, and it seems like now I'm right here and not much time has passed at all. That's because the Bible says your life is a vapor. So, let me put it to you like this. Those of you older folks who may or may not have regrets for how you've spent your life, and also for you younger folks, this is mainly for the young people right here, what I'm about to say. Wouldn't you like, when you get old and gray, to have a testimony that says, I spent my life for the Lord. I didn't waste my account, but I spent it for the Lord. I can't tell you how many times and how many testimonies I've heard that says, man, I wish I'd have lived my life for the Lord. I wish I'd have got saved sooner. How many of those have we heard? Now, I wish I would have started living my life for the Lord when I was young. But can I tell you, young person, today can be day one that you can start living your life for the Lord. Here's what we do a lot of times. We like to try to say, you know what, one day I'll live for the Lord. One day I will be like that person and I'll come to church and I'll be faithful in the Lord and I'll serve for Him. But guess what, one day you might blink and it might be too late. A split second is all it takes to ruin your life, ruin your testimony. And a split second, you'll be old and gray with regrets, miserable for the rest of your days. I think that kind of puts it into perspective. For me, I know it did for me, thinking about, man, how much do we waste our time? And how much do we not live it for the Lord? How many times this, and here's why I think this morning. Here's why I think Satan's greatest trick is to say wait. That is Satan's greatest temptation and his greatest trick in this life is say, put it off a couple days. Maybe the Lord lays it on your heart to serve somewhere in the church. You can do that later on. Like when you got that good job, you need to focus on your job. You need to do this and X, Y, and Z before you do that in the church and before you're faithful. Well, guess what? One day might be too late. You might ruin your life, ruin your testimony, get out in the world and get into sin, and then you won't be able to do that. Or maybe even worse, slip off into eternity and have to give a testimony before the Lord saying, you know, I should have done more for you. I should have done more for you. So that's why we need to use each day that we withdraw, each day that is precious to us, we need to use that for the Lord, living for Him. Because we only have a set account today. And don't listen to Satan's lies when he says, put it off another day. Because like I said, that's one of the greatest lies he can tell you. Especially if you're in here and you're not saved. If you have never asked the Lord to be your Lord and Savior, that is his greatest temptation right there for you not to get saved. Oh, you can get saved another day. You can get saved next Sunday. And also that works for you who have been saved, who wish you'd got saved sooner. Because guess what? You waited. And it was gone just like that. And you have regrets. So we have the account of our life this morning. Can I tell you today, while your account is still full, live it for the Lord. Young person, while you still have a lot of days left, don't let anybody in this world fool you into saying that you need to live your life first and then sell out for the Lord. Live your life, go out and do all the things that you want to do first, and then live your life for the Lord. Don't let it fool you, because can I tell you today, the world is nothing except lies and heartache. Out in this world, they tell you, oh, go live your life. Go out into the world, be somebody, and live it up in this world. But when it comes down to it, it is nothing but lies and heartache. Every time, the world leaves you coming up empty. But guess what? The Lord never leaves you empty. He fills you with peace, with joy, and with happiness like you've never felt before. Can I tell you today, it's the greatest joy that you'll ever have living the life of the Lord. So, live your account for the Lord today. And can I tell you here that there is work to be done for the Lord as well. You know, we'll spend our life sitting in the church pew sometimes and not do anything for the Lord. Can I tell you, it is a joy, the greatest happiness you'll ever feel doing something for the Lord. Because guess what? As small as we are, just think about that. In comparison to God, He wants to use each and every single one of us for something. He wants to use you today. So, whatever He has for you, serve Him to the best of your ability, because it's the greatest joy you'll ever feel in this life. And here's another thing. With the idea of putting it off and putting it off and putting it off, you know what the Bible says about waiting and putting it off and saying, you know, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll sell out to the Lord tomorrow. I'll get saved next Sunday. I'll serve the Lord next Sunday. I'll serve Him when I get older, this that age. Proverbs 27:1. Boast not thyself for the morrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. That's what the Bible says right there. That, if you'll look right here, I found this interesting, something the Lord showed me. If you'll look in James chapter 4 right there, what we were talking about. Look in verse number 16 right there. Well, we'll start in verse 15 right here. For what ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings, all such rejoicing is evil. You think maybe boasting yourself for tomorrow, saying, oh, I'll have tomorrow. I'll have another day to do this. You think that might be the boasting that the Bible is calling evil right there? The boasting that is evil. Rejoice in your boastings as such is evil, the Bible says right there. Boast not thyself for tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You don't know if you're going to have tomorrow. You don't know if you're sitting here right now that you'll be right here next year this time. In the year of 2024, last church service of 2024, you don't know if you'll be sitting here. So every day that you have in your account, use it this coming year for the Lord. Because I promise you it'd be worth it. Because when that account is up, you'll be able to go to heaven rejoicing and thanking God that you were faithful, and He's going to reward you greatly for it. So, we see the account of our life. Number two, in this passage, we see the architect of our life. Look at verse 15 there. It says, if the Lord will, not if I will, not if my family says, but not if somebody that is over me, a boss or somebody, not if they say, it says, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. So you know what that tells me? That tells me there is only one that says whether you get to spend another day or not. There is only one who is in control if you wake up, if you lift your eyes tomorrow and you wake up and go about another day. There is only one in control of that, if the Lord will. So, what I mean by the architect of your life, you know what we try to do sometimes? We try to be the architect of our own lives. We try to say, you know, I want to go out and do this. I want to go out, get a great job. I want to go and do all the things that the world has to offer, all the pleasures that the world has. And we try to build our own life. We try to, how many times have you said this? You know, I want to make something of myself. I want to go out and I want to build my name up and I want to be somebody. How many times do we hear that? You know what we're doing? We're saying, if I will live and do this or that. We're saying, if I will. Not if the Lord will, but if I. Because you know what we do? We don't pay a single thought to maybe, just maybe, the Lord knows what's best for us. We think we know what's best for us all the time. But maybe the God, just maybe, the God that created the earth and all the stars and this everything that we see around us, maybe, just maybe, He knows what's best for me. No, He does. He does know what's best for you. And every day that you wake up, if you'll put your life in His hands, let Him be your architect and build your life. Not you trying to be somebody and build your own life up, but let the Lord guide and lead you. Your life will not be anything but joy and happiness. I can tell you that. And you'll have the greatest joy and happiness that you've ever felt in this life. Now, it may be hard day after day, and things may come in your way still, because He didn't promise us that it'd be all sunshine and rainbows. But guess what? Going through it, you know you're doing exactly what the Lord has you to do. You know you're doing what the Lord will. Not our will, but what the Lord will. Because He is truly our architect. And like I said, we always try to say, you know, I think I want to go do this and I want to do that. Well, Let me tell you this today. If you want to be your own architect, child of God, go out and try it for a little while. Go try it. Go out into the world and try to live your life on your own and try to build your own life. And then come back and then go to the Bible and ask the prodigal what happened there. Go out into the world. Read the scripture about the prodigal. And then you'll come back just like he did. Say, you know what? It's not worth it. The world out there, it's not worth it. Because the Lord is the one that knows what's best for you. It's not you. See, the prodigal son in that story, he thought, you know, give me all my wealth and everything that is owed to me and all my inheritance, and I'll go out and you'll never see me again. But guess what? He came right back. So go out into the world for a little while. Try it. Try it and find out. But can I tell you today that if you're a child of God sitting in here and you're one of God's, you can run out in the world, but you can't hide. Because the Bible also says, whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. So if you go out and try to be your own architect for a little while, He'll bring you back. It might not be pleasant, but He'll bring you back. And can I tell you, if you're not saved here, the Bible says that you are of the father, the devil. You're father of the devil, and the less the father you will do. But guess what? God can be your father this morning. If you're not saved this morning, you can come down and you can have God as the architect of your life. And here's what I found, too. And here's why I believe so many of us in this life, we go about this life and we always think, you know, what can I do? What can I make of myself? It's because this world feeds us this constant narrative of go out and live your dream, make something of yourself, and then you can live your life. Or go out and live it up and be whatever and whoever you want to be. How many times do we hear that in the school systems? Be whatever or whoever you would like to be in this world. And I heard one person say one time, there was somebody who had this phrase on their desk. It says, follow your dreams and God will go with you. Follow your dreams and God will go with you. But guess what? That's exactly what the world tells us, don't they? Follow your dreams and God will hold your hand and go right with you through your dreams. That's not what the Bible says. Let me show you what the Bible says. Turn with me, if you will, to Psalm chapter number 37. Psalm chapter number 37. This passage right here, this is one of the greatest passages right here for living your life for the Lord and doing what He has for you in this life. It's beautiful. It's one of my favorite verses in the Bible right here. Psalm 37 and verse 23. Psalm chapter 37 and verse 23 right here. We'll start in 23. Here's what the Bible says. The world says, follow your dreams and God will go with you. Here's what the Bible says. Here's what God says. Verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. That right there, that's what the Bible says about what you should do with your life. You should let the Lord order your steps. Not the world, not yourself, not your mom and dad, not anybody that you look up to in this life, but the Lord order your steps. Because if you simply decide that you're going to let God order your steps, every step you take, that you're going to let God order those steps, then I promise you, your life will not fall. You will not just be in shambles. A lot of times we find ourselves in shambles and feel like, you know, we don't have a friend in this world and we feel like the whole world is crumbling down around us. Thank God if you let Him be your architect, He's going to build you on a solid foundation. And if you do fall, because we all mess up, right? The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we all sin each and every single day. And if we fall, guess what? If you're letting the Lord order your steps, what does it say in verse 24 right there? For if though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. So if you got the Lord right there beside of you and you're letting him order your steps and he's right there with you, guess what? Even though you may stumble and even though you may fall, your life will not crumble down. It won't fall apart completely because guess what? The Lord is right there upholding you. So let the Lord be your architect. So let me give you real quickly right here. because I don't think we realize sometimes just how important it is for the Lord to be our architect, and why exactly. If maybe, you know, sometimes we go through this life and we go day by day, and here's what we do. We let this world become so overwhelming that we forget just how good God is. And just how powerful and good to us He is. So let me remind you right here why He should be your architect. Number one, because He loves you. Number one, because He loves you. So when it comes to it, let me illustrate it to you this way. When it comes to it, I know a lot of you in here can probably testify to this. When you fall and the world sees it, what do? He did that. Did you hear about what so-and-so did? That's not love. If somebody says they love you, and then as soon as you mess up one time, they point a finger at you and say, "How dare he do that?" That's not love. But what does the Bible say again? Verse 24. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. He shall not point a finger and say, "Why did you do that? Why? I can't believe who you think you are, going out and being in sin and just letting me down day after day." Because guess what? We let the Lord down day after day, don't we? We don't just fall once like the world does and then they point a finger at us and say, "Look what so-and-so did." No, we fall every day. But does God point a finger at us? No. It says, "Though we fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand." Aren't you thankful for that? That right there is true love. What the world gives you is not love. Because you do 1,000 things right and one thing wrong, and they'll immediately disregard you. But guess what? We do 1,000 things wrong and one thing right, and God is all up in arms. Because he loves us. So that's why he should be our architect, because guess what? He loves us. But number two, he longs for what is best for us. He not only loves us, but as I mentioned before, he longs for what is best for you. Because guess what? With the world, once again, it's just mind-blowing how we do these things and we allow ourselves to get out into the world when it's nothing but lies and heartache, like I said earlier. Because guess what? We go out into the world, and the world doesn't long for what's best for you. When you're at a job, it's nothing a lot of times but competition. It's like, "Oh, what can I take over that person? Can I be higher up than that person? Or can I do better than so-and-so over here?" Because the world doesn't long for what's best for you, because guess what? They're out for themselves. They're not out for you. They're not wanting what's best for you. They're only out for themselves. But guess what? The Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us? So we should let him be our architect because he loves us. He longs for what's best for us. But number three, if that didn't convince you, you should be convinced already, but let me give you a little bit of icing on the cake right here. Life everlasting. He loves us. He longs for what's best for us, but we got life everlasting. And because of that, we shouldn't focus on the earthly things. We shouldn't build our lives on the sinking sand, as the Bible calls it. We should build it on the solid rock. Because guess what right here? As I said, our life here on this earth is that. But guess what? Eternity is forever. We may have to endure a little bit of heartache and hardship right there in that little vapor that is this life. But guess what? We got a lot of eternity waiting for us. So we shouldn't build our lives in this world. We're wrapped in this sinful flesh, and that's the only way that I can think about why we continue to do this. Because I do it. I mess up every single day. We all mess up every single day. But guess what? We have life everlasting. We try to build our lives constantly on that sinking sand that is the world. But we got eternity waiting for us. Let's focus on what we got in eternity. Let's live our lives here preparing for what's up there. Because I've seen a quote right here. I think this perfectly illustrates this quote. We often hear, "Life is short, better enjoy it." Oh, go live it up. Life is short. You better enjoy it. Get out and live. But how about eternity is long? Better prepare for it. Life is short, better enjoy it. better get out and live it up and do whatever you want to. But how about, just how about, eternity is very long. You better start preparing for it. Because it is even but a vapor. We don't have long to prepare. We better get started right now, don't you think? Because we don't have long left. Even if we may pass away, or may the day comes that we withdraw that one last dollar out of our account of life, or day out of our account of life, even then, the Lord's coming soon as well. So either way, we don't have much time left because our life's a vapor, but also the Lord's coming soon. So we better start preparing, don't you think? So let me ask you, who is your architect today? Is it you that called the shots? Is it you that does exactly what you want to do? Or is it God? Because can I tell you this, that if we start calling our own shots and we start trying to go out into the world, as I said many times already, it always ends up crashing and burning, falling down all to pieces. But if we build our lives on God, on that solid rock, and we have Him as our architect, He's always going to uphold us. And I mentioned this earlier in regards to your soul. And it also applies to those of you who are saved. That, you know what we do? We like to try to be our own architect a lot of times. But you know, when it comes down to it, who it is that is actually our architect if we're doing that? Satan himself. Because you know what he desires more than anything? If you're in here, there's one or two things that he desires. If you're in here and you are lost and you are not saved, he wants to see your soul destroyed forever in hell. He wants to see you put it off another day. He wants to see you go next Sunday before you get saved and then slip off, withdraw that last day, and slip off into eternity without the Lord. That's what he desires if you're not saved. But also I think we forget about what he desires if we are saved. As that he desires, because he knows that he's already lost. He knows that we are the Lord's. If you're a child of God in here today, Satan knows that you're already the Lord's. There's nothing he can do. But you know what he desires? He desires to destroy your life here, while you're here on this earth. He desires to see your life destroyed and in shambles and nothing more than regret. That's what Satan desires if you're saved. The Bible says that he is a roaring lion that walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Because that's because he knows that he's already lost. So he wants to devour your life here. That life that he lost in eternity, because we have life everlasting. That life that he lost there, he wants to destroy the life that you have here. Satan wants to destroy your life. So, as the Bible says, just so happens, isn't this neat? Going up James chapter 4 right there. James chapter 4 verse 7. The Bible says, and this is beautiful how the Lord put all this in one chapter right here. James chapter 4 and verse 7. The Bible says right here, now Satan wants to destroy our lives, right? Well, what does God say that we need to do? Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Aren't you thankful for that today? That all we got to do when that temptation comes, all we got to do when that destroyer that walketh about and he comes and tries to destroy our life, all we got to do is resist. Draw nigh to God. Let him be our architect, stand firm, and resist. Because guess what? If God be for us, once again, who can be against us? And that includes Satan himself. Greater is he that is in me, and you, if you're saved, than he that is in the world. Also includes the god of this world, Satan. Aren't you thankful for that this morning? That if we simply let God be our architect, and we simply draw nigh unto God, let Him build our life, we have nothing to worry about. We just got to be sober and be vigilant. Because Satan's coming, but guess what we all we got to do? Resist. Because guess what? We got somebody with us that has already won the battle and has already defeated Satan once before. In Matthew chapter 4, he's already defeated him. Guess what? He's going to do it again one day too. So we've got the victory. So we just need to let the one who has the victory build our life, because we will get the victory in the end if we do that. Now lastly, right here, we've seen the account of our life. We've seen the architect of our life. Do we have the Lord as our architect? But lastly here this morning, this is a big one right here. This is what right here ties the rest of this together. If we use the account of our life well, and we have the Lord as our architect, this one right here should fall right into place. But a lot of times, sadly, it doesn't. And when it doesn't, this is why a lot of times we fall back. Number three, this is something that a lot of American Christians struggle with today, and it's the actions of our life. The actions of our life. James 1 and 22, you don't have to turn there, I'm going to read it. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Be ye doers. Not hearers. But guess what? American Christianity today is full of hearers and not doers. And you know what that does? When we sit here Sunday after Sunday after Sunday and Wednesday, if you come, Sunday and Wednesday, we sit through the services, we hear the word being preached. We hear what the man of God says that stands up. We push away from it, or we say, I don't know what that preacher man's talking about up there. If you're hearing it, but guess what? You're not being a doer. You're hearing exactly what I'm saying right now. Those of you who are paying attention, you're hearing what I'm saying. You're hearing the word right now. You're hearing it being preached. But my question is, are you going to be a doer? You're going to use your life to be a light shining for the Lord. A life that is filled with serving the Lord. Contributing. Because I said earlier, think about that. We are so small, but guess what? God wants to use every single one of us. He has something for every single person that is sitting in here right now for you to do. Whether you're old, whether you're young, He has something for you. Whether it be simply just being a greeter. Whether it be just simply being happy and greeting people coming in and you know, just being a great Christian so others can see your life and be in that testimony. Maybe that's what He has for you to do. Simply living your life for the Lord. There's something for everybody. My question is today, are you going to be a doer? I can't tell you how many times I've seen this, and it burdens my heart. I cannot express to you this morning how much it burdens my heart within me to see church service after church service after church service. People will hear the word, they'll sit there in their pew, and they won't respond. They won't respond. That's the predicament we're in today in American Christianity. Us as a whole, we'll sit there, we'll hear the word, we'll say, okay, well, yeah, maybe I agree with that. I really don't agree with that, though. But regardless, we'll just sit there. Not be a doer. We'll sit there, sit in our pew, or maybe just maybe this as well. Because, man, I've seen this time after time. And this breaks my heart even more than the ones who just simply sit there and don't respond and change their life. Here's what I see. I see people come down to the altar. I see them say a prayer. I see them commit to the Lord. They'll walk right out and forget all about it. That's the situation we're in today. Hearers and temporary doers. See, that's the thing, is those who sit in the pew, they're a step behind that as well. Those who come and respond and actually commit to the Lord and try to make a change in their life, but then they forget all about it. There's the two people that we have today. That they'll hear the word, but they won't respond. I don't get it. I honestly don't get it. Because we're in a predicament today that we as Christians, we will hear what is being preached straight from that book. And if you truly believe that that is God's word right there, you will believe it. If you believe that God preserved His word for us and has a perfect book that we can live by in this world, you will believe every single bit of it, and you will live your life according to it. And if you have been saved by what is in that book, for by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's everything that God did for us. If you have been saved by that book, then you will do everything you can to try to give back, living your life by it. How dare we hear the Word of God, straight from the Word, and say, you know, I don't think I agree with that. You know, I think God might have been a little off on that one. Whoa. Whoa. How dare we do that? Because I find in my Bible that it says that He would preserve His Word for us, and He'd give us a Word to live by. So don't you think, just maybe, that God knows what's best and He put everything that we need to know in this life in that book? Don't you think so? Then why don't we live our life by it then? Let us be doers, because we are hearers all the time. We hear what is in this, and we may or may not agree with it. But let us take this Bible and try to live our life by it. Because guess what? You know what this is? It is a Bible. It is God's holy word for us. But it is also a roadmap. It is also a roadmap for me and you. In this world, when we're going day after day, and it seems like this life is getting the best of us, and we don't know which way to turn, which way to go, I find where my Bible says, as I told you earlier, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And He delighteth in His way. I also find in here what talks many times about how we should live our life and what is pleasing unto God. So, this is our roadmap right here. So let us take our roadmap, look at it, and travel down the road with it. Let us not wake up a single day, I've done it before, and not take out our roadmap and see what God wants us to do that day, or what He has for us that day, something that He wants to speak to us about. Let us take this book right here, it is God's holy word, and walk, as it says, that straight and narrow way which leadeth unto life. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. But guess what? Guess how you can stay on that way? Right here. Living your life by the roadmap. Being a doer in the action of your life. Now, let me tell you how to break the cycle today. Here's what God gave me in closing right here. How to break the cycle. And if somebody will, I have somebody please come up and play a little something. I want to give you a chance this morning to be a doer. Are you going to sit there? You're going to be a hearer only? Or are you going to purpose in your heart that you're going to be a doer? And that little time that you have left, are you going to spend it living for the Lord? Because I saw this quote one time and I loved it right here. It says, may our walk in this life be louder than our talk. May our walk, as we go on that straight and narrow with that roadmap, may it be louder than what we speak to others. Because I think it's obvious that you can't tell everybody about the Lord. You can't get to every single person, as the Bible said, go and preach the gospel unto every creature. But guess what you can do? You can live your life for the Lord. You can live every single day that you have in that account for the Lord. And you can go day after day and not waste it. And living it by this. And having that walk that is louder than your talk. Because here's what you got to do. Like I said, Satan will tell you. He'll say, put it off another day. Put it off. You can live for the Lord later on. You can do what is right for the Lord. You can do whatever He's laid on your heart, that service or that thing that He has for you, that calling He has on your life. You can do it another day. You have time. No, you don't. Here's what you got to do. And that vapor that is your life, you need the purpose that today is going to be day one of me living for the Lord. You can't say, one day, I'll do it. Tomorrow, I'll do it. Maybe I'll live for the Lord when I graduate, young person. Maybe, just maybe, I'll live for the Lord when He gets me that job that I want. One day. Can I tell you, there are a lot of people in eternity right now who are saying, one day, if I had just done it. So here's what you got to do. Make today day one. And in your heart, purpose that you're going to use the time you got. Older person, the time you got left. Younger person, the time that you got in front of you. Everybody in here can use it for the Lord. So my question is once again to you today, what is your life? What is your life? Are you going to spend it? Are you going to spend that account day after day wasting? Day after day? Are you going to let yourself and Satan be your architect day by day? And are you going to sit there and be just a hearer of the word? That's my question to you today. I gave all that the Lord has wanted me to give you. Now it's up to you. Now it's up to you whether you're going to be a hearer only or a doer. At this time, all you willing and able, stand to your feet and let's mind the Lord. If you need to come today, come on. If you want to be that doer today, come on and purpose in your heart that you're going to be that doer from this day forward. Day one starts today. And tomorrow, first day of 2024, I'm going to live my life for the Lord. I'm going to live my life fully dedicated to Him. You sit there and you may be thinking right now, well, I can do it another day. I can purpose in my heart tomorrow. On the first day of 2024, can I tell you that Satan whispering you those lies, saying, put it off. Tomorrow starts a brand new year. But what if you don't make it to that brand new year? Because we're not promised a single another breath this morning, can I tell you? Not a single breath that we promised. So please, I beg you, if you need to come, come this morning. And if you're at your seat and you're not willing to come down, sit there and make your pew right there where you are, an altar. Mind the Lord this morning. Purpose that we're going to live our lives for the Lord. No matter what comes our way, no matter what temptation comes our way that tries to get us out in sin, let the Lord order your steps. Always remember Psalm 37 right there that says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. Because like I said, I can't promise you all the sunshine and rainbows of this life that everything would be just fine if you start purposing your life for the Lord. But guess what? It's going to be joyful. You're going to have the most happiness and joy that you've ever had before. There's a couple still doing business with the Lord this morning. If you need to come, come on. Trust that everybody's minded the Lord this morning. Been a doer of the word, what He's had you to do. And I hope that was a blessing for you and encouragement to you this coming year. Let us live that short little time that we have. As we talked about, this past year has flew by. When this next one goes even faster, let you look back at it and say, you know, I lived it for the Lord and I didn't waste that year.
Is coming. I don't have to know. It's not my will, but His will. But just continue to pray for our pastor search committee. They need your prayers. And we thank you that you're here this morning. We thank you that you'll be blessed, and you've already been blessed. You've heard the word and the challenge in the word. So let's go and do it. Let's not be the architect of our life. Depend on the great architect who put all this together. Me and you, look around. You go outside and look when you go to the parking lot and see what all He's put together. You had nothing to do with it, neither did I. That's what he told Job. Where were you, Job, when I hung the stars and the moon and told the waters where to go to and where not to go to? Job, you had nothing to do with it. And I'm the same way. You're the same way. So let's go with the blessings that God has given us. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for the message that's been brought by Brother Brandon. We thank you for him coming and teaching and preaching. We pray, Lord, that this will be a challenge to us this year, this coming year, to let you be the architect of our life. Let us be committed doers of what you told us to do, to go and to do and to tell and to make disciples and baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And God, we just thank you for loving us, not because of our goodness, but because of your mercies and your grace. We ask each blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.